It's May 25th at Yeshiva Migdal.
HaTorah.
Migdal HaTorah. And so I wanted to take up an idea that I developed, so to speak, over Pesach. On the seventh day of Pesach, the Kriyas HaTorah of that day is the Shira, as you all know. And that describes one of the greatest miracles. I always ask people if you could be there, so to speak. You were there, you know, this would be a TV program. If you could go back in time and pick any event or any miracle that you would like to be in, that you would have liked to witness, which one would it be? So I'm sure each person may have his own answer, but clearly, as far as I'm concerned, Kriyas Yamsuf is like one of the most amazing and dramatic miracles, where the Jews are, you're being pursued by this tremendous army and you're on the verge of destruction, and this fantastic miracle occurs, and it had a tremendous impact upon the Jews, it would seem, because it says when they saw the Mitzrim dead on the Sfas HaYam, on the banks of the sea, then they feared God. Vayah Yishol is to try and mace al Sfas HaYam. They saw the Egyptians dead, and it's an interesting point. It was when they saw the Egyptians dead on the banks of the sea, then it says they feared God, and what comes after that? Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. So it produced a tremendous impact upon them. That it led. I mean, when beforehand they didn't believe in God beforehand. They didn't believe in Moshe avdo. Apparently not. Apparently not. As I wouldn't say they didn't believe, but you see one thing from this. What do you see from this? Because you have to ask yourself the questions. Maimonavshach. Did they believe before? It would appear that they didn't from the psukim. You read it plain, you would assume that now they believe. But before, but you can't say that. If they didn't believe in Hashem and they didn't believe in Moshe Avdo before, then they wouldn't have brought the Karban Pesach. They wouldn't have done all the things they did. They wouldn't have left Egypt blindly. So what do you see from this? What do you see from this? It's a very, very important point. So they were Maminim. So they did believe. So if they did believe, then what do you mean now? So now how can you say that now they believe? They believed already.
A stronger belief?
Yes, yes. What do you see? Amunah b'Hashem, and Amunah Moshe Avdo, that means, basically it means Amunah b'Torah, is not all or nothing. It's not all. It's a very, very important point. Because the guy said, look, I believe, that's it. There's different degrees of belief in terms of quantity, but in terms of quality as well. Where do we first encounter that idea? That a person can be a believer, but maybe he's not a complete believer, but he's a believer. Who's the first person in the Torah that we encounter this idea with? Anyone? Who would you say?
Noah.
I'm sorry?
Noah.
Good, good. What's the pasuk? Mipnei? He got on the name Mehamavo. So Chazal Darshan right away, they could see that's not the plain shot, of course, but it's there. It's the implication. I mean, the drasha is emes, it's true. It just means that it's not the overt meaning of the pasuk. That is, he didn't get on in spite, but what do you mean? He built it, he spent 120 years building the teva. He had to believe. But nevertheless, there's elements of doubt. That's what we call emunah shlema. Emunah shlema. That a level of belief, that's why he's compared unfavorably to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was absolute. Absolute. So you see the same thing over here. And, you know, it's something that we wouldn't expect, that the Jews, of their own accord, after the experience of Mitzrayim, that they'd emerge and be believers on the highest possible level. I mean, you see that there is a dialogue between Hashem and Moshe, that Moshe is criticized. V'heim lo yaminu li. He said that they won't believe me. They won't believe that God spoke to me. And then, again, on the Medrash level, God didn't punish Moshe for saying that, because God, in fact, said, okay, I'll give you osos, I'll give you signs to prove. He gave him nisim to prove. But there is a rebuke, though, according to Chazal, maminim, because it says, vayamein ha'am, when he went to Mitzrayim and he performed the osos, the pasuk says that the people believed. So Rashi brings down the Midrash. You see, Moshe? They're maminim b'nei maminim. That characteristic of the Jew, the capacity to be a mammon, and that's a certain type of a person. that the Jews have. They didn't lose that. But it's not to be expected that at this stage of the game they'd be on the highest level of Amuna. So the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf was very, very significant. It was transformative. It wasn't just that they were in danger now, they were saved, but you see it had a profound effect. So actually, the idea that I want to discuss with you resulted from, I was away for Pesach at a hotel, and one of my Talmidim was there, so I had someone, to learn with me in the morning. It was very, very interesting. He raised the question on it's the seventh day of Pesach, here's the question. If you go through the Shira, and you see how important it was, because where do you see, of all the miracles, there's other Shiros in the Torah, but this is the Shira. It's really extensive. All the different elements, the impact that this event will have, not just on the Jewish people, but on the world itself. So, and we say it, in the davening, it's been incorporated in the Pesukah de Zimra every day. So you see, it has relevance to us. Where does the Shira end? So please take a look at the Tezvav. Perik Tezvav, Pasuk Chaf. After, apparently Moshe led the singing, the Shira, for the men. Then it says, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah, Achos Aaron. And Miriam, the prophet, the sister of Aaron. I'm not going to get into the whole, this is another topic I'm working on. It's really juicy. But wait a minute, wasn't she the sister? First of all, why do you have to tell us that she was the sister of Aaron? We already know this. But if you're going to tell us who were her brothers, so why is Moshe left out over here? There's a very fascinating... I'm not going to take it up now. Maybe if I get invited back, I'll go into that then. I'll have to see. But it's fascinating. It leaves out Moshe. And what do we have to know? Why do we have to know that she's an Avi altogether? Okay, we already know that too. What does it have to do? I'm throwing that out that you could have something to work on. I'm going to come back and test you to see if you work. You have Shavuos coming up. You have plenty of time to learn. And then it says that she took the, I guess it's translated the tof as the timbrel, some type of a musical instrument. And all the women followed her with these instruments and with dancing. Vatan lehem Miriam, and Miriam proclaimed to them, Shir Lashem ki go, sus farocho ramavayam. Which is basically the same words of Moshe. So apparently this is an additional element of Shira. I'll just say one thing. It would appear, though, that the basic implication would be that in order to create Shira, you have to have Nevuah. That's why it's mentioning that she's a Neviah. That's what I would say. Because not anybody can make a Shira. Bashir, what do you say? Bashir David, Sishbachos. What do we say in Mishtavach? What's the exact one? Yeah, Shirei David, because David was Ruach HaKodesh. The ordinary person can't just create songs, of praise to Hashem. It requires a level of Nevuah, and David HaMelech had that. Yeah, yes.
Is it like a matir that you need to have, or is it like you just want to be able to formulate the Shabbat properly?
Well, those are the two ideas, because we don't have the ability to formulate it properly, because what we think is praise is not necessarily objectively praise. So then you need a matir, I would say. Agreed. I agree. It's a very, very important concept. You can't even pray to God. The Rav always mentioned that tefillah requires a matir because we really can't praise God. So that's, Hakel Agibim Anar, had Moshe Rabbeinu not said it in the Torah, and the Chachmei Chazal, they incorporated it, we wouldn't have permission. That's basically, I think, the idea. And the same Shira is very, very much in line with that. Because who are you to praise God? Who are you to sing? What are you singing? You take a look at, listen to some of these songs these days, you can see that what man considers to be a praise is just the exact opposite. Actually, you even need a matir to say Hallel. You can't just say Hallel every day. So you see, from that, and that's a legitimate praise. I don't know what you guys did here about Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim. I don't know. I'm not asking.
That's another topic.
Would have been fun. I should have come here then. No, because that's a halachic issue, though. That's a, it's a different day also. But I'm sure the Rav said you could say it only without a bracha, if I'm not mistaken. Then the question is, did you say tachtun? Interesting stuff. Anyways, I want to proceed. So let me ask you a question. The Kriyas HaTorah on Pesach is essentially on the seventh day, is the Shira. right? So where should it end? Where should the Kriya Sattva? This is the where should it end?
At the end of the Shira,
right? This is where it should end. That's the end of the Shira. However, as you know, when we read the Shira, you know, in the parasha itself, and when we read it in on Pesach, it doesn't stop here, and it continues. And it continues. Take a look at the next segment, the next story. Now, the next story, we're going to go through it, but it seems to have absolutely nothing to do with the Shira itself. It's a whole different Maisa. Then they begin, Vayasa Moshe as Yisrael Miyamsaf. Moshe led the Jews out of the Yamsaf. All right, so Rashi comments that apparently they needed a push to leave. They want, because Rashi says, because they got involved in the spoils, the tremendous amount of spoils, because they came with all their ornaments for the that they put on the horses and gold and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of side benefits to the miracle. And the Jews got caught up in that. So Moshe had to sort of push them out. And then they went to the Midbar, sure. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and they didn't find water. Then they came to Marasa, which is basically Mara, which means bitterness. That's the reason for that, the Pasuk says. V'lo yachlu lishtos mayim mimara. And they couldn't drink the water, okay, because it was too bitter. Kimarim heim, because they were bitter. Al ken karshma mara. That's why it's called Mara. Okay. So far it's all right. But then it says Vayilonu Amal Moshe Lemor Manishta. The people complained against Moshe, saying, "What will we drink?" Now, was there anything wrong in that? Did the people do something wrong by complaining to Moshe and saying, "What shall we drink?" Or no, I mean it's a legitimate complaint.
They have no water.
I'm sorry?
They have no water.
Yeah.
Whether they be complaining to Hashem or Moshe.
I'm sorry?
Whether they be complaining to Hashem or Moshe, there's reason to complain.
Okay, so, but nevertheless, I mean, you know, the Rashi and the commentators take it to be something negative. It wasn't really the best thing in the world. It wasn't really a good thing, so to speak. They get a little bit of a patch. They get musr. As a result of this, they get some musr. Okay, go ahead. But the point is like this, though. I'll agree with you. Anyone that's been in the desert, well, you know, everybody needs water, no matter where you are, okay. But certainly if you're in the desert, then the need is much, much greater. To be in the desert and not have water is very dangerous. Dehydration. Okay. So if that's the case, what's wrong? What's wrong with... there were different complaints. See, later on, the next story, which is another interesting topic about the slav, you, the man and the slav, the difference between the man and the slav. So I have a whole shir on that. But that was illegitimate. I mean, Hashem endorsed, so to speak, the complaint about the bread. They complained because bread is a necessity. But meat is not a necessity. That's like desire. That's taiva. So there, you could say it's inappropriate. You don't need it. You can get along without it. But water, you can't get along without. So it would seem that it was legitimate. But did you want to speak?
Oh, no, I'm saying that the word vayilonu, using the word complain, doesn't it always have a negative connotation?
Yeah. So why is negative? Well, but the question is, why is it negative?
True.
Now, so Rashi explains. I think this is an interesting idea. That just because there are a lot of people with grievances, you know, everybody has grievances and complaints, and some of them are legitimate and some of them aren't. But very often, it's not the thing itself. You'll see that sometimes people seize upon something. They really are rebelling. They're rebelling against something, but they can't just come and say, we don't want. They have to have attached their rebelliousness to something particular. If they find something particular, then they're gonna blow it all out of proportion. I mean, today, like in America, like there's a tremendous amount of hatred for Trump. People can't accept the fact that he won. So whatever he does, even if it's not a big deal, and other people, if they can view it or portray it, they'll blow it out of proportion. So it's not the thing itself. It's the underlying hatred for the man. But you can't just say, we hate Trump. You have to give it some kind of a reality.
Having no water is an incredible thing, though. It's not just like, okay, I just don't like
it. Water is credible. Water is credible. But sometimes when people have a legitimate complaint, let's say they don't like a leader, they don't like a teacher, they don't like a rabbi, whatever it is, and let's say the complaint is legitimate. Yeah, but how you express it will reveal a great deal about you. So you can express it, but covered. Yes?
I have
to speak a little
louder. Wouldn't have been more appropriate for them, instead of Violonio, by
They could have, yeah, but true. They could have been misspelled, but let's assume that they felt that they needed Moshe's guidance. But how they approached Moshe, even though you have a legitimate complaint, you don't have, that doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful, especially to someone like Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have, so that's another thing. You will see that people sometimes, yeah, you're right, it's legitimate, but why do you have to speak that way? What about Derech Eretz? What about Kvod HaRav? You see, that's the Vayilonu. That's the Vayilonu. In other words, the substance of their issue was legitimate, but the manner in which they chose to express themselves indicates that it wasn't just the water.
What?
It wasn't just the water. There was something more than that.
But shouldn't the fact that they don't have water be reason enough to excuse, or rather bring reason to having greater grievances? I mean, if you have a leader who says, we're going to protect you, we're going to lead you, we're going to do everything for you, right? And then 3 days later, there's no water and you're dying. And so then
no,
there's reason
it doesn't, the thing is, like, does it justify? No, certainly it doesn't justify, given everything that Moshe had done for them. I mean, just a little while ago, they were slaves.
He's about to kill them. It's like he has a sword to their throat. He's
what's
a
sword?
No water. No water will kill you after 3 days.
Moshe knows that too. So again, it doesn't...
Hold on a second.
Whether you could be malamei schus on them, and one thing is, was the behavior appropriate? Is that kind of behavior appropriate?
Kind of situation, I think so.
I'm saying it's not appropriate. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is a man of tremendous compassion, and he's led you, and so on and so forth. So you have to give him the benefit of the doubt and approach him respectfully.
But if he's about to kill you, why should?
He's not killing you. He's not killing you.
You know, right? I don't know if you can make this deal, but it says v'lo matzu mayim. It doesn't say that they were thirsty.
That's true too.
We don't know. You're assuming that they were dying, right? We don't know that. It could be that.
It says 3 days. They weren't dying.
What?
They weren't dying.
Right,
they
exactly
weren't dying.
The Torah should have said that they were dying of thirst.
That's it. By dying.
Right. I was just saying. Volumatsumai means that they anticipated this being there and it wasn't there, so they were frustrated. But listen, I don't think you can read it into it that the same by definition. The Torah should have said by what do you call it? They were thirsty.
Did they have one?
Right.
First. They must have had someone. They weren't dying. First of all, every previous instance, whenever they appealed to Moshe, he came through for them. Look what just happened. He came through. So at least give him the benefit of the doubt and ask respectfully. Then if he doesn't respond or he's indifferent, okay, then you could start to get a little upset. But at this stage of the game, there's no justification. That's a very important factor that people forget about. That the first sign, as long as everything is going your way, okay, he's great. He's a great leader. As soon as there's a conflict or a problem, that's it. That's a very immature type of phenomenon. I mean, the leader has his responsibilities, but the people have their responsibilities. So this clearly is a negative thing. Had they been on a higher level, then they wouldn't have acted this way. They would have been calm about it. They would have deliberated. They would have gone to the chachamim, to the leaders, and said, what should we do? That doesn't give you a right to be disrespectful to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, kavod harav is like kavod hashchina. It's a very, very significant thing. Okay, now you want to be malamed schus on them and say, okay, you should have rachmanis because they were... That's a different story. But it doesn't mean that what they did was acceptable. It doesn't mean what they did was... Now, bear in mind, I don't know if I mentioned it, the question that we're posing is, why doesn't the parsha of the Shira end with the Shira? Why is it connected to this parsha? I don't want to lose sight of that. Okay? So what happens next? So Vayitzak El Hashem. Moshe came through. And Moshe didn't, Tzaka is a form of tefillah. He cried out to God. So you see, that was Moshe. Moshe was the great leader. Whenever the Jews had tough experiences, he was in Baal Tashem. So do you think he was only mispalt to Hashem because of Ayilonu? Had they presented it to him in a respectful and a civil manner, he wouldn't have? You see, by Yitzhak al Hashem. They lost their kind. That's a big, big problem. Throughout the entire experience in the Midbar, that as soon as things went badly, they began to turn on Moshe, to Od Ma'atu Skaluni, a little bit more, and they're going to stone me. That's a very, very important lesson that we need to learn. This is not just history. This is throughout all the generations. And it affects us today. And it's something we have to be able to internalize, that idea of how to have a proper relationship with the appropriate leaders. And the idea of developing a certain trust and not basing that trust on every what happened yesterday, what happened the day before. And every time it doesn't go my way, I complain. That's a very immature, that's a very childish level. And it says, Vayitzchak Hashem, Vayoreyu Hashem Eitz. This becomes a little bit complicated. That God instructed him, it's like Hora, or God showed him a certain tree, a certain type of wood. Vayashlech al hamayim, and he cast it into the water. Vayimtaku hamayim, and the waters became pleasant, they became sweet. Rabbi Chait, Rabbi Israel Chait, one time pointed out, just throwing it out, I'm not going to get into the whole discussion, he said, when he read the Parsha, he said that it doesn't mean that the water wasn't drinkable. It doesn't say it wasn't, the word is potable, you know, it just was bitter. It wasn't pleasant. So they didn't enjoy drinking it, but that doesn't mean that the water wasn't, they could have drank it. They could have been sustained. What? They couldn't. He's saying they couldn't. They couldn't drink it because they wanted pleasant water. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if a person is dying of thirst, he's going to drink the water as long as it's not poisoned, right? V'lo yachlu, they couldn't. They couldn't bring themselves. V'lo
ratzu. And the ocean, they're dying inside drinking salt water.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. So they weren't apparently in that. They weren't apparently in such a dire.
Right.
That's what Rabbi Yisrael Chait, Shlita, said. All right, but it doesn't. All right. So now you think it's over. Okay, problem solved. Let's move on. But that's not the end of the story. It says Sham Sam Lo Choku Mishpat V'Sham Nisahu. Their God established for them Chok u'Mishpat. In other words, according to Rashi, Moshe revealed mitzvos to them at that point. I think it's Paraduma, and Shabbos, and Dinim. You know, Dinim, monetary laws. So that's all interesting. What does one thing have to do with the other? The problem of water, okay, sweetened the water. Rashi says it was a miracle within a miracle, that the bitter affected the bitter and made it sweet. But that should be the end of the story. What is the point of establishing mitzvos? He gave them mitzvos. They're supposed to get the mitzvos at Sinai. A few more weeks and they'll be at Sinai and they'll get the mitzvos. Why do you give them the mitzvos now? What does this, how does that fit into the picture? And then a little bit of Musar. Bayomar im shamoa tishma kol Hashem elokecha. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Vayosha bi'ein av tasa. And that which is straight. This is very, very important. Yashar means that which is straight, okay? Not deceptive, not crooked. Everybody thinks he acts in accordance with Yashar. Everybody has a sense of Yashar, right? You all have a certain sense of what's right, certain sense of justice. And is that really appropriate? Should a person rely upon his own sense of Yashar? Apparently not, because it says, Vayosha be'ena. A lot of people, when they act in a certain way, I acted justly. But one second, was it really just? It was just in your eyes. In your eyes it was just. Okay? But you have to sacrifice. It's very, very complicated. Very difficult for people to do that. Especially if it's manazeh, where each person thinks it's righteous. Like, gay rights and other issues. It's only right. It's not fair. That's the way these people are. They shouldn't be deprived of their... What right do you have to deprive them of their fulfillment in life? That's a very appealing argument. And people who make that argument feel that they're good people. And I'm not saying they're being phonies. They deeply feel that you can't discriminate. It's not fair to take away a person's right. That's the way he is. He didn't make himself that way. That's a very compelling argument. That's a very seductive argument. But the answer is, it's not Yasha B'Yani Yasha. It's not Yasha. So there are things that could be Yasha, that could be Yasha in our way of looking at things, because we have a built-in way of looking at things, we have a built-in sense of justice, and this happens many times. It's not right, you said you're going to do this, and so on and so forth. But what we have to do is to be able to discover Vayosha B'Einav. And what's Yosha B'Einav may not necessarily be Yosha an hour. And that's the challenge. The challenge is to be able to put, sometimes that's it, The challenge sometimes is to put aside the Yetzer Hara. You have these bad emotions and aggressive. You have to. That's the challenge. But sometimes the challenge is to put aside the Yetzer Tov. You have a good inclination. I want to be nice to this person. I don't want this person to be alone his whole life and suffer. That's the Yetzer Tov. Vayosha b'yenav. So to be a proper, a Torah observing Jew, you have to be able to encounter all of your yitzros, all of your emotions. And just because it feels like a good thing doesn't make it right. It's got to be Yoshar B'Eni Hashem. Powerful stuff over here. Then, V'shama V'hazanta L'mitzvosov. You will pay attention to his mitzvos. You study the mitzvos, pay attention. V'shamarta Kol Chukav. And you'll guard all of the chukim. I'm not going to go into all the differences now between, you know, you're familiar in a general way. You know, chok and Kol HaMachla Shasantim Shayim L'Osam Alecha. All of the diseases that I placed upon the Egyptians, I won't place upon you. Ki ani Hashem Rofecha. Because I am the Lord, your healer. Your healer. So, it's an interesting thing that the Mefarshim bring up. Because a doctor heals an illness. But here he's saying that he's going to prevent you from getting the illness. Because I am the Lord, your healer. But if you don't get the illness, so why do you don't need a healer? All right. Remind me, I have a pshat in that. Remind me if I forget to give it. I may forget. So you'll remind me, okay? So the question that we're asking is, this is very powerful stuff. This is very significant. This parsha, it's a standalone parsha. It stands by itself. And the yeshiva stands by itself. So the question is, what's the shaychus? You would think that it's two separate ideas, and the yeshiva should have ended, and then you go on to the next parsha. What's the tzir of parshios? What's the connection? Why did the Torah connect this parsha with the parsha of the Shira? That was the question that my Talmud asked me. And I want to try and give an answer to that question. But I want to go a little bit more, just a little bit more into some of the nuances of this parsha. There's a very important halacha that we learn at, that we derive from this parsha. Does anybody know what it is? I'll tell you which pasuk it's in. Chazal made a takana. They made a takana, which we observe to this day, based upon one of the psukim over here, and I'll tell you which pasuk it is. It would be Chaf Beis, the first pasuk of the sugya. Very good. Very good. This is not drush, this is halacha. It says, Vayechu shloshesh yamim bamidbar. They went 3 days in the midbar of Alamatsu Mayim. So from this pasuk, Chazal was masaking Kriyas HaTorah. Now Kriyas HaTorah, Barabim, Ashiyat, the Rabbana. Of course, Talmud Torah is the Araisa, but the fact that we have to gather together with a minion and lane on Shabbos, on Monday, and on Thursday, that's Midrabbanan. And it comes from here. What's the shaychus? What's the connection? Yes? What's the connection?
Can't go 3 days.
See, apparently, yeah, you can't go 3 days without mayim. So that means you should drink water every 3 days. Right? What's mayim?
We see in the story they need a reminder every 3 days. Kind of, some kind
yeah, because they say, ain mayim el Torah. Ain mayim el Torah. That's the Rambam brings that down. That's a mashal. The Torah is compared to water. Ain mayim. I have a shir on that too, so I put that on the list. I guess we'll have to extend this mind a little bit. You guys can't go on vacation until I finish giving all the shiurim that I have haven't given. Okay, well, I'm not going to go into why. About water. There's a lot of midrashim on that. Why it's compared to mayim. I have one of my own, but that doesn't matter for our purposes. So don't you see something from here? Don't you see something from here that they didn't look at this as really a problem with the water so much? The water was, as I said before, that was just the justification, the rationalization. It wasn't really about water. It was something deeper. The fact of the matter was the problem wasn't that they went without water. What was the problem? They went without Torah. They went without Torah. Had they been Osek in Torah, then the entire thing would have been different. Yeah, they'd have a problem. The whole water problem would have been a different issue. It would never have blown out of proportion. It would never let the... Because had they been involved in Torah. That's why they said the problem is really they're not involved in Torah. They have to be Osek in Torah. And that's why the... Now that everything fits together. Because before we said, Sham Sol, he gave them mitzvahs. He gave them, what are you going to get mitzvahs at Sinai? What do you need mitzvahs now? Anybody? Why do they need mitzvahs now?
To be Osek in Torah.
To be Osek in Torah. You have to understand the significance of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, of course, are important in and of themselves because they're the actions where you implement the ideals, the concepts. You can't just have... See, you can't just have it in the abstract. You can't have Torah just in the abstract, just an abstract intellectual exercise. And that's the end of the story. These ideas are to be internalized and implemented and live according to the idea. That's the meisim, that's the actions. You need both. The pathway to perfection, the roadmap, as they say, to perfection is through knowledge. The Judaism is unique. There's no other religion that's like that. Because there's no other religion that gives you a derech, a chayim, a way of life, a way in which you can elevate yourself from one level to another. I mean, it's basically like the imagery of the vesulam utzavarta. There's a derech, and the derech is involved through growth, through learning, gaining an understanding of ideals. But if you stop at that point, then you're not going to have it. Then it has to be maisa. And I'll tell you, It works the other way too, because why do you study? What makes you study about Pesach, the laws of Pesach and the concepts and the ideas? Why? And when does it become more compelling to study it? You could study Pesach anytime, right? But a month to 2 months before Pesach, you can start studying because we have to do the mitzvahs and we have to learn. So the mitzvah is an end in itself, but it's also a tremendous incentive to study. Because it's life, I have to do the mitzvah, I have to know the mitzvah, therefore I have to study the mitzvah. So right now, what the Jews really needed right now was not the water. The waters became sweet. Because of the Torah. Because of the Torah. Once they got involved, and you'll see the same thing. If a person is not, he's empty. He's not involved in study. He's not involved in learning. Then everything, you know, the food doesn't good. And everything becomes a problem. Because he has no inner fulfillment. When a person has an inner fulfillment, he's involved in ideas and learning. He doesn't even notice what he's eating. It's not that important to him. Because then eating simply is a means for survival. But it's not what I look to for my enjoyment in life. That's the difference between us and the rest of the world. They're totally involved in all of what we call the taivas. In the music and the women and so on. All these things become tremendously exaggerated in importance. Why? Because they're empty. They're empty. A person is empty. But once a person is involved in learning and in Torah, he's experiencing a tremendous satisfaction in the world of ideas and knowledge, then the other things in life they're just necessities. They're just necessities. Who cares? It's this way, it's a little colder at this. Now, who cares? It's not the essence of his being. But when a person separates himself from Torah, what has he got? His energy has to go somewhere. So where does it go? It goes into all of the pleasures, so to speak. All of the things that are not necessaries. So he takes things that's the way most people are. They take things that are most gross. Why do people have these beautiful cars, these excess? That's not really necessary. It doesn't serve any purpose whatsoever. But in that mindset, he takes things that are not necessary and he makes them into absolutes. And that which is necessary, which is the essence of a person's being, which addresses itself to the perfection of his neshama, that's secondary, that's the whole world. That's the Jewish world too. Most people, they put all their efforts and energies into business. The Rambam says a person can never get enough of an unnecessary thing. That's what he's saying. Guy's chasing money and money, he's never going to use it anyways. Someone else is going to spend it. He's not going to spend it, because how much can a person spend? And these guys are preoccupied with making more. I mean, it's an absurdity. It's just the pursuit of more. However, that's because the real problem is because they have nothing in life. It's an empty life. But when a person has zocha to be able to be immersed in Torah. So then he looks at everything else in the world becomes different. So that's what, that was the real cure. The mara, the bitterness, was not because of the water per se. Had they been Asuk in Torah and they got a little thirsty, they wouldn't even notice it. They wouldn't even notice. There is this story, back me up on this. I'm sure you're familiar with the story. And you might have heard the story. I think it's told about Rav Chaim Brisk, I don't know who. He needed a certain procedure with his tooth or something like that, a painful procedure. And they didn't have the Novocaine or whatever it was. So, you know, they told him, so he says, give me a few minutes. The Gemara talks about that too. I think it was Rav, that he got so involved in a Sfara, he was so, that he was pressing something against his finger and was bleeding. He wasn't even cognizant of it. But I think that the story with Reb Chaim, that he got involved in a problem. And you have to understand that this is not just one of these Bubba Mises, as they say. It's a story. This is true. This is a true phenomenon. When you are completely absorbed in an idea, you don't know what's happening around you. You will not notice if somebody shoves you. You get completely removed. So you won't even notice that you're thirsty, but if you do notice it, it'll just... I actually remember that happening to me. Now, I'm not comparing myself to anyone. I'm serious. I remember that I had this toothache. I had a real bad toothache. And I got it right before Shabbos. There's nothing I could do about it on Shabbos. I had to suffer. And then I couldn't get an appointment with the dentist until, I think, Monday. I had an appointment on Monday. And Monday morning, I was going in the afternoon, I got into a really deep discussion with your brother, with Rabbi Yisrael Chay. And we were really... afterwards, I noticed that the pain was gone. I didn't notice the pain. I'm serious about that. That doesn't mean I'll go to the dentist and tell him not to give me Novocaine, you know?
Right.
Like,
man, if someone's treated many patients, I've tried that technique before, it doesn't seem to work.
It's not going
to
work.
I always want the shot.
Yeah, you didn't have Reb Chaim, you know.
Exactly. I've given them Reb Chaim before. Like, here, look at the Reb Chaim.
Yeah, I know, but you got... In this case, it just happened. No, but in this case, for whatever reason, I just happened to get into this discussion.
Self-hypnosis, you go to surgery if you know how to do it well.
That's true, too. But that's different. That's different because of suggestion. Yeah. Here, it's without suggestion. It's just a natural phenomenon.
Your mind is totally occupied in something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so that's what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry, what?
There's a story of an old yeshiva guy who was working on a svara, and he was in the kitchen, and he was leaning against the stove, and his shirt accidentally got caught on fire, and he didn't realize it right away. Like, he was just so involved that he didn't realize, and someone was like, you're on fire! And he's like, what? And then he, like, rolled and, like, continued right where he left off, like, on working on
I believe that.
So if you go on the road, you shouldn't think in deep svara.
That's right.
We only think in,
that's a good point. That's a halacha.
Lose concentration.
Altir gezubadera,
right.
That's dangerous. It is dangerous, actually. Well, in general, you guys should be careful, because today people are doing everything but driving. They're texting. I'm serious. Even a conversation is a dangerous thing, because your mind is being distracted from the driving. But that is definitely true with Torah. You can get so involved that you completely forget. That's not a good thing over there.
Right.
anything has to be done with seichel. There's a time and place for everything. See, the Torah recognizes what?
It's also not a good thing to cut yourself while thinking.
Yeah, but that's something that happened. He didn't realize. But that I believe. I mean, there are people that... I remember a guy in our yeshiva that he used to, like, walk over... You might remember. I don't want to mention the guy's name. He used to walk over, like, to the wall, and pressing against it. He would, like, have a tremendous concentration. He'd separate himself from everything, you know, and push his head into the wall. I think it was, like, indentations or something like that. But you see, but that's the pshat. I mean, you see, that's why he gave them. That's why, from that point on, he gave them mitzvahs. And you can't go 3 days without Torah. So let me ask you a question, then. Having elucidated this parsha, there's more ideas here as well. Maybe I should. I mentioned I would say Kine Ani Hashem Rofecha. Kine Hashem Rofecha. Yeah. Okay. So before we get to the big question in the shir, so I wanted to say like this, that what's the refuah? What's the refuah that Hashem is giving them? If you keep my mitzvos and so on, but the mitzvos aren't refuahs. You're not supposed to use the mitzvos as refuahs, right? I mean, it's a whole big issue. A person. So the pshat is like this. It's really referring not as a refuas ha-nefesh, but it's refuas ha-guf. In other words, if you keep my mitzvos, that will be kinei Hashem rofecha, I am your rofe. When we make a mishaberech for a person, refuas ha-nefesh, refuas ha-guf. We don't pray for, because if a person has a healthy body, but he's got distorted ideas, then health is not necessarily a good thing for him, because it enables him to pursue his crazy ideas. See, there's a difference between refuah of the body and refuah of the nefesh. The body basically, Hashem, it basically comes, it's healthy, doesn't need a refuah. Unless a person, generally speaking, there's some people that have natural, you know, problems or diseases, but all things being equal, most people are born with a healthy body. So you don't need a rofe. If you go off the track and you pursue bad habits, bad nutrition, then you're going to need. But the body in and of itself does not need a refuah. What about the neshama, but the nefesh intrinsically needs. Intrinsically, the nefesh as it comes to you, if you just follow your natural, by your emotions, your natural inclinations, then you're going to go off the path. It's not a perfected. The nefesh of the individual, the psyche of the individual requires a refuah. Because it has its own, like we said, it has its own drives, your own desires, you want to be this, you want to be that. It's lacking knowledge. And that's the refuah. The refuah of the nefesh is through true ideas, and the nefesh, by definition, nobody could just come into being naturally he's a tzaddik, naturally he grows up, naturally he's, it's not going to be the case. Because naturally he's going to follow his own inclinations. You see? So that's Ani Hashem Rofecha means that your soul, I created you in a way where your soul intrinsically needs a refuah, and who's the Rofe? Hashem. Because it's only by studying the Torah, adherence to the ideas, as we said, man left to his own devices and his own sense of justice and his own understanding of reality is going to come to false ideas. Very few people, I know there's an Avraham Avinu, there's Yechidim, very, very, there are Yechidim. But the Torah wasn't given because of that fact. The Torah was given so that a whole nation, there should be an entire nation which should be able to govern its life according to true ideas. For that you need Torah. Okay, now the big question. Vus hatis satan. What? Ma inyan mara etzel hashira. Right? What's the tira of parshiyos? That was the question that I started out with. What's the story have to do with that? It's two separate stories. This is a great moment of triumph and happiness and Shira. And this is kind of like a little bit of a depressing story. It's not a cheerful story, but it's a necessary truth. Why didn't it stop there? Why did it go to this story? You have an answer?
No.
Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. Yes.
But you did kind of a cycle. Like it says that they when they left the arms, they were Yiras Hashem, they had a lot of emuna, they were at a very high level. And then they leave 3 days later, and we see what happens after 3 days. And there's some kind of...
So what's the teaching? Kind of, good. You're on the track.
Some kind of like procession from high level to low level.
Okay.
That I guess we need to be addressed and that we need to be aware of, because we have to be aware that even though we may think we're on a high level, even if we actually are on a high level, there's always that risk of always crashing back down unless we're constantly mesafik and
Very good point. You're on the right track. Really good. I'm along the same lines. I'm going to tweak it a little bit more, you know, but yeah, very, very good.
Maybe you would say that, kind of like what you were saying before, the natural state is to go after the desires and emotions. So just as the natural state without water, you can make the, is to dry out. So you have to constantly supplement it or else you'll revert to that state. It's not like you get there, then you stay there. The natural state is second law of thermodynamics. You're always going to go towards entropy. Yeah. So you have to constantly work on it too.
Yeah. I just want to, like, again, along the same lines, it's teaching you something. See, most people have this idea. People are pursuing inspiration. That's a big thing. Oh, you're such an inspirer. I was so inspired. I heard this thing. So inspired. Well, miracles. Unbelievable. Or I've seen people that were in, you know, bad situations, had serious illness. If Hashem will only cure me or send me a refuah, a deliverance, then it happens. Okay, so what happens? And I tell them, you're making a big mistake. Why? Because inspirations, miracles, have a short shelf life. It doesn't last very long. What bothers you when you read this story, when I read this story, just this great moment. This, what a miracle. What if that would be like one of my favorite things to experience. And you're on this tremendous high. Hashem, you saw Vayaminu Hashem. You saw you were so close to Hashem. And then 3 days later, how is it possible to start complaining? 3 days after that, how could you complain? Everything should be fine. Who cares? We just went through Kriyas Yom Suf. So what do you see? Didn't take very long. It just wore off. Inspiration has a short shelf life. You could hear the most inspiring, and it deceives you, because now the way I feel, that's it. I'm a different person. Yeah, but you don't realize you're not going to feel that way tomorrow, and 2 days from now, and within 3 days, it's all gone. Unless I tell people, you had this great experience, and you feel a tremendous hakara to Hashem. If you don't implement that now, you don't start a program, and you internalize it, and you start, without Torah, there's no change. People have this notion, that's why they go to hear all these speakers. Oh, what a speaker, he's amazing. Because they believe that if they get that inspiration, that's going to make them. It's absolutely not true, it's not going to have the slightest effect. You will hear, they'll hear about, oh, he spoke about Lashon Hara, and I never saw it so clearly, and now I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara again. Until he's in a conversation and the subject comes up. If you then go from there and you start to pray, you understand, you start to do things and you take steps and you implement, if you implement it, then you can work your way. It's like a guy, people go, a guy gives a talk about nutrition or exercise. Exercise, how the tremendous effects of exercise. And he's so inspired, that's it, I'm going to change. That's what that's how they make money. That's when you buy the machine or the treadmill or whatever it is, and he brings it in the house. Not now, tomorrow. Okay, a few weeks later, you'll see he has a place to hang his clothes on, his jacket, and all that. Never uses it. Right? Why? Because he believed that he's so inspired. Of course, he's going to use it. But then tomorrow, he had another thing, and the day after, if you don't get on it. That day, and if you don't start a program as a masmid every day, whatever, 15 minutes a day, then yeah, whatever it is, then all the inspiration in the world is meaningless. Inspiration has to be transformed into activity and a program, hasmada, and then you're going to change. That's the parsha that comes after. That's the connection with the shira. Don't believe in miracles. Don't believe it. I mean, you believe in them, of course. They happen, but we believe in miracles. I don't mean it that way. But don't believe that the miracle is going to transform you. It's not. That should be an inspiration. But the inspiration should be the trigger to start a program, to implement the program. You don't go 3 days without learning. You start a program. You learn. The only thing that's going to change you is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah and mitzvos. And if you do that, it's going to take you there. That's the idea of the ladder. There's a program. It's been mapped it out. All you got to do is get on that program, and it'll take you there by itself. You don't have to be a great person. You don't have to be a great person. You don't have to be a genius. The Torah worked it out. If you study Torah, the logic, the clarity, it's going to come as a result of the fact that you're engaging in that. In the same way, if you, let's say you're completely out of shape, you follow the program, you start off, you run 5 minutes a day. Then a week or two later, then it'll be 10. Eventually, you could do a marathon, all things being equal. It's not you. It's not because of a greatness in you. It's because you were endowed with certain capacities, and this is the program, and when you implement the program, it's going to take you there. And that's the Torah. The Torah will take you there. And everybody has the capacity for that. Everybody has the capacity on his level. You don't have to be the Vilna Gaon. You just have to be you. But you're only going to be you and fulfill your potential if you adopt the program. That's why after the greatest miracle that anybody could possibly experience, 3 days, that's not a long time. But the inspiration was gone. If the inspiration was there, they would have said, we can't complain. How are we going to complain? We're on such a high, we don't even care about water. Oh, it's bitter? We can drink the bitter water. But what does it show you? It's like an hourglass. The inspiration is wearing off. Look, even not disparagingly at all, to speak about Holocaust, people in the Holocaust, what they went through. And Hashem, if I could only be saved, they didn't want much. I mean, that's it. Just a little sunshine. But, and they were saved. Or, mitzvos and so on. I don't know how many stuck to that program. Because once you're saved, it's a whole new reality in the emotions, and pretty much the emotions will go right back to where they were. The emotions will go right back to where they were. They will not stay on that level of inspiration. What will it, if you are inspired, then you adopt the program. You get onto the program will take you there. So I think that these ideas basically are very appropriate, Bazman Hazeh. We're about to celebrate Shavuos, and that's Matan Torah. And I just thought that this would be very relevant, how we should view. We should view that as the great Matana that Hashem gave us. The miracles, of course, they're great. But if it doesn't lead to Torah, then what's the point? So just hope that everybody will have a very meaningful, I enjoyed being here and speaking to you fellows. Hope you should have a very meaningful Chag, and I hope that these ideas will, to a certain extent, help you in terms of what your goals are.